Hi guys, I'm Emily DiDonato and welcome to the Remodeling Podcast. I've gone from model to content creator, founder to mother, city to suburbs, and now podcast host. So much change in just these last couple of years. I won't lie, I felt confused and scared, but also excited and inspired by all of my own big shifts. One thing about change is that we are all going through it. Come along with me as I chat with some of the most inspiring women in my network as they share their stories and break down their greatest life and career pivots. If it's time for your very own remodel, grab your headphones and start here. Introducing our season finale guest, Stassi Schroeder. Stassi is known as one of the original breakout stars of Bravo's hit series, Vanderpump Rules, but she's also a mom of two, a New York Times bestselling author, and a podcaster. Her podcast, Straight Up with Stassi, launched in 2015, which I was excited to be a recent guest on myself, has become an instant fan favorite, two sold-out nationwide live tours. She has a no BS, no filter through and through, but still manages to be funny, relatable, and down-to-earth. We connected immediately and honestly on all things pregnancy, motherhood, and navigating our careers online, all with a sense of humor. Enjoy. Stassi, thank you so much for joining us on the Remodeling Podcast.
Yes, I'm so excited to be here. You are like my TikTok model soul sister.
I'm so happy to have you here. We just did a full hour on Stassi's podcast and we talked about so many wonderful things. I'm so excited to have you on here. First things first, what I would love for you to do, I know you through and have been a fan for many years, but for anyone listening, can you share a little bit about who you are and your background?
Okay. My name is Stassi Schroeder Clark. I have two children. One of them's three. One of them's 4 months old. I feel like I'm best known for being on a reality show, Vanderpump Rules. I have a podcast, Straight Up with Stassi, that I've been doing for like 8 or 9 years now, for forever. And I have two New York Times bestselling books.
That is quite a bio. That is some strong stuff. I really like want to talk to you about kind of like your career and life trajectory because I find it very, very interesting. And you and I really bonded, I feel like, over our content and pregnancy and postpartum. Like we are in the thick of it at the same time. So I'm so happy that we're here and coming together. The first thing I want to ask you, because I feel like your career on reality TV is like my modeling career. It's like a past life for us. And we're like just building upon this kind of foundation that we have. So how did the reality TV thing start for you?
Oh my gosh, Emily. Okay. So, well, it's really, really embarrassing. When I was like, I talked about how I went through an awkward phase. Okay. Like I was not like a cute teenager. I just wasn't. My dad really wanted to be on The Amazing Race. They had a family edition when I was 16 years old. He put my awkward ass on The Amazing Race. So like I did a competition reality show when I was a teenager. Then when I moved to LA for school, like someone reached out in casting and was like, you know what, we're doing this show called Queen Bees and we feel like you'd be great for it. So I was like, YOLO, I've done reality TV before, sure. So I did that and that was embarrassing again. And then I just started working at a restaurant that just so happened to like months in or a year in after I had been working there, they were like, we want to make a reality show maybe about this restaurant. Would you be interested? I'm like, yeah, I've done two of them. I've done two. Sign me up. So it's like I just was destined for it.
Did you know, though, that you wanted anything to do with media, entertainment, modeling, acting, anything like that? Or were you just kind of like going with the flow and you were like, these opportunities are kind of like falling in front of me and I'm going to take it and run with it?
Oh, no. I was like a big musical theater person in high school. So like I was in every play, every musical. I was auditioning for things that like that were being filmed in New Orleans. So entertainment was always a part of me and my vibe. Once I moved to LA, like so much went down in those years where I was like, what do I want? Do I want to be an actor? Do I want to be a host? What is it that drives me? And when Vanderpump Rules landed in my lap, I was still trying to figure out what it is that really I wanted.
I kind of love hearing that though, because like I feel like, I mean, from watching you on reality TV, like you're a star and you made for such great TV. So painting that picture is helpful because I'm like, okay, she knew how to entertain a group. Like you had it in your bones. So from a reality TV perspective, what do you feel like you learned the most from like that part of your background that like kind of catapulted you into so many other things, your book, your podcast, there's so many things. But like, are there any key takeaways from that part of your life that you're like, you know what, I really learned a lot here and it's like X, Y, Z?
Yes. It's that being completely honest and transparent is so incredibly helpful when you are trying to have a career where it's about either entertaining or connecting with people. You know, like, I think people liked to watch me, whether they didn't like me or not, but they liked to watch me because I didn't really overthink anything. It was just, I'm going to say what I would normally say if cameras weren't here. You're going to see all my ugly stuff, but you're also going to see the things that I like about myself. You're going to see it all, and I'm not going to try and pretend to be something that I'm not. And I feel like that's also what's helped me in terms of podcasting and writing a book. People just want to, they want to connect to something real, really. And audiences, listeners, readers, like, they can smell bullshit. So I just feel like people want real, authentic stuff.
That's actually such a good point. And it, like, you say it in such a nice, simple way. It's true. People just want authenticity so badly. And you brought that to the table in, like, such an entertaining way. But I am curious, because I feel like when I watched you on TV and I'm thinking of you, like, you're a kid. And I think of myself as a model, and I also was a kid. What did it feel like going through all of that, you know, being on TV when you're just a kind of like a kid growing up?
I don't know any different now.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I didn't know any different. I did this show at, you know, my senior year of high school. And then, like, I did this other one when I was in college. And then this happened that I don't know how I would be, how life would differ, you know? That's such a boring answer. But, like, I just wouldn't know the difference.
That's such a good point. I guess, like, when I reflect back too on, like, my modeling career, I'm like, that's the only way that I knew it. But then I look at other people who had, like, normal lives and, like, went to college and were, like, partying in frat basements. And I'm like, well, it looks a bit more wholesome than some of the things that I was getting up to. But it is what it is. I want to shift gears because I feel like we've connected so much on the motherhood front. We became moms around the same time. We both have two kids. You have a 4-month-old. I have a 9-month-old. For motherhood, what was the entry into motherhood like for you when you had your first? How did you feel? And what was that identity shift like for you?
Okay. The identity shift is fucking wild. I think it's so different for you and me because, well, yours, I guess you weren't fully in COVID. I was fully in COVID during my pregnancy. Mm-hmm. So I entered into COVID one person. Like, I walked into my house as one person and then spent a year in that house and then exited that house another person with a child. So, like, I feel like I'm trying to figure out what the world is like still now. I'm like, where do people go? What do people wear? How do people speak? How do people text? What's the vibe? What's the vibe? Because I entered in this one way. It's not like I experienced my first pregnancy just, like, out doing the normal things that I would normally do. Like, we were all locked in our houses and ourselves. So, like, we were just here at home. So it's been a mind fuck, honestly.
That is such a good way to put it. And I also feel like, just in general, COVID has done that to all of us. And I don't know if we fully processed that yet. Like, even when I think about getting dressed, I'm like, I don't know how to do that anymore. Like, now we're all getting dressed up and go, where are you going? Like,
Where is everyone going? The traffic that I see in LA, I'm like, where are you guys going? Like, because I don't leave my house that often. But, like, when I do, like, I'm like, it's so weird. You know what's so funny? So I went to lunch the other day for the first time because I had a friend in town. And so I'm like, okay, let's go do brunch. I, like, carved out time to do that. And we went to a restaurant I'd never been before. And I'm like, I looked at my friend. I'm like, it's so crazy that, like, that all these people are just, like, going to this restaurant every day and they're having lunch every day and talking about things. And just, it's a whole world that I don't even know. Look how cute all these people are doing their daily lunch or, like, routines. Look at, you know what I mean? It was so crazy to me. Yes. I'm like, why aren't you guys all at home or at work? I don't know.
It completely resonates with me. I feel the same way. Like, coming out of motherhood, and I feel like you're already, like, kind of hibernating when you become a mom, especially a first-time mom. And then all of a sudden you're, like, meant to reappear. And it's like, I'm so confused what everyone is doing here now. I feel like something we've really connected on is, like, kind of the identity and how different you feel towards your body, about your body, in your body after you have kids. Can you share a little bit about how you felt and your relationship with your body and how it's changed since you gave birth both times?
Well, I mean, we touched on this in my podcast where it's like we're told that we should be like, oh my God, I love my body. Look what it just did. Like, be gentle with yourself. Let it rest. Let yourself heal. Like, you know, oh, look, cool. I get it. I fully understand. My brain is processing that my body did an incredible thing. Like, I know that up here, but I don't feel that confident or proud of my body right now. Like, I can't help how I feel in my heart, in my soul, and I don't feel that great about myself because I don't recognize myself anymore. It just feels like I was a host for this other being for so long, and then all of a sudden that being leaves, and not only do we take care of it, love it, live for it, but then we're left with this like shell of a body that doesn't look the way that it used to. And, but we still want to feel good about ourselves, but we can't fit in the same things. But then you also don't want to go spend a whole lot of money on buying new clothes. It's just, what do you do? You know, what do you, postpartum life is just so rough. And again, I know we should appreciate our bodies. I do. But like, I don't like it right now.
I completely understand. Do you have any tips, like anything that you tell yourself, a mantra, anything that you do that like helps you during this period? When like, for me, it's like the confidence is low, like my morale is low, and there are just like a few things or a few people that I can see that actually like help me get through it. Like, do you feel like you have that the second time around?
I think the only thing that I tell myself when I feel low is that I did it once, I can do it again. That's really what it is. Like, I did it once. It was hard. It took a long time, but I did it. So whenever I feel like, fuck, this isn't going as quickly as I wanted it to go, or I'm not, you know, I still don't fit in these jeans or whatever, I'm like, it's okay. Eventually it'll happen. We did it before, you know, we could do it again.
When you said like, should I buy new clothes? And I know that's like a ridiculous like privilege to be like, I'm just going to go buy all new clothes. But like, I just did a closet clean out and I was like, I have to keep all these like clothes. Like, I'm not getting rid of them because what if I get pregnant again? And I refuse to like enter that period again where I have nothing to wear. Like, I feel so possessive of like that time and trying to protect myself during that time because I'm like just walking into it and you're like, I have like two pairs of leggings that fit, like if that. And like one large sweater and I'm hanging on by a thread here. Like, it's just, it's so hard like during that time. But I'm the exact same way that I always tell myself, first of all, this is temporary. And second of all, I've done this before. I'll do it again. People have done it before me also, and they'll do it after me. Like, there's a will, there's a way. And also like my main priority, and I try not to bully myself, is like when I feel good, I'm a better mother. And like, that's all I'm trying to achieve here. So
yes, truly, not to be shallow, not to sound vain, not all of those things, but it's natural to, when you feel like you're presenting something that you like, to feel good, which is why like I have to put on makeup every day, because when I pass a mirror, if I don't and I see like my rosacea or psoriasis on my face, like I get down. I don't like the way that looks. So I'd rather just cover a few things up. It just does wonders for my self-esteem, which makes me more fun to be around, honestly.
I know. And I think it's okay. And it's good to share that, because I feel like as a mom, you're kind of made to feel guilty for doing anything and taking care of yourself. But actually like taking those few small moments truly does help. So I'm glad that you say that and you share that, because like, I feel the exact same way. I am curious though, because you had your second, like, I'm kind of shook that you had a baby 4 months ago. Like, you look amazing, first of all. Like, you're like so with it. Like, I feel like at 4 months, like, I am still very shaky. Is there a difference between first postpartum and this postpartum? Like, do you feel different energetically? I mean, I know that I did, but I'm curious for you.
Emotionally, it was harder, and mentally, it was harder. Like, the first couple months, I didn't suffer any postpartum depression with Hartford, nothing like that. I think, again, we were like, obviously, I had some down days. Like, every new mom does, where you don't understand why you feel sad, all of that stuff. It's overwhelming. There's anxiety. But this time around, it felt way harder the first couple of months. I don't know why. Maybe because like I don't know, two is just so much, where it's like I was used to being able to tap out and have my husband step in, and I was used to being able to spend more time with my husband. And now it's like one of us is on one of them. So it felt like, wow, this is a real change. Like, this is a really huge shift. So that has been difficult. But in terms of like having my shit together and like being out there and doing things, I just made it my mission, because I know that that's like what makes me feel good about myself. Like, to get back to where, to feel like myself, and to get back to where I was before. Not that I'll ever get back there, but to just feel like I am my own person. Like, this might ruffle a few feathers, but like, I tried so hard breastfeeding with Hartford. I tried for 3 months. Like, I pumped for so long. Like, I didn't produce enough milk, so I always had to supplement. Like, it was so hard and so depressing, and I hated pumping. I felt so isolated. Like, instead of waking up and like going and hugging my baby, like, I was pumping, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? So this time around, I'm like, I'm going to give myself a week, and if I feel depressed, I'm going to stop. And I felt depressed, and I'm like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it, because I would rather be a happy mom and a happy wife. Like, I'd want my family to be around a happy person instead of breast milk. Like, that's just,
oh my God.
That's
I mean, I feel the exact same way. I like fought tooth and nail the first time, and the second time I just reached a point. I mean, it is like such a massive sacrifice, and it also made me like so psychotically depressed. So I was like, this just like isn't working the second time around. But I still remember feeling like such immense guilt, like both times. And you're like, I just feel like I'm never gonna like find my way out of this without getting through like this stint of guilt. But for you, like, I feel like it sounds like with number two, and in general, I sense like this drive from you. Like, I feel like you're like zesty and ready to go and ready to get it. Like, how has your feelings and your point of view on your career changed after having kids? Like, we kind of talked about this on your podcast, but I feel like, I mean, you wrote two books. Like, that's huge. Like, where do you get this motivation, and do you have a vision for this, like your life, and like who is Stassi and your career, and like after having kids? Like, I'm just like brain dead. Like, I need to understand.
Yeah, no, I regret going back to work like 2 weeks after. I gave myself 2 weeks after I had this baby, and I was like, that was dumb. But you're always scared of falling behind. Especially in this industry, you're always like with social media, with podcasting, with anything that's going on, you're always scared of falling behind. So I was scared of that. And I really regretted it, because I was not ready. And I think that's also what made me kind of depressed and anxious, where I was like, I was resentful that I had committed to so much when I really just wanted to be with my new baby, you know? But now, after having kids, the way that, you know, I view my career, it shifts all the time. I don't have like, I'm not somebody that's like, I have a 5-year plan. Like, that's not, I don't have that. I like to focus on one thing at a time and do it well. And also, it's just what I want for myself is to like, you know, be Kris Jenner, provide a great life for my family. I want to be able to like give my family, provide my children with the opportunities for them to be whoever they want. Like, that's what really drives me. So when I start working on something new, I'm like, this is just another step to Kris Jennering the shit out of life.
Wait, I literally love that mantra so much. Like, I'm genuinely so inspired by that. I'm like, yes, that is the dream. Like, that is the vision. I'm going to Kris Jenner the hell out of my life and for my children. Because I just feel like for myself, after having kids, like, I feel so lethargic, like mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And I feel like with you, you have your podcast, you have your book, and it just looks like the dream is like mapped out, like you're coming back to it and you're doing it. So I found that like very inspiring.
Thank you. Well, like, I don't feel like that every day. So just know that most days I don't feel like that. So yeah.
Okay. Noted. I want to talk about your books very much so, and your most recent book. Can you share a little bit about it and the premise and how it came to be?
Okay. Well, I'm working on my third right now.
No way.
And yes. And It's kind of, so basically I have, well, this will be my third. So they're basic bitch handbooks. It started off with Next Level Basic because I'm like, I am a full blown basic bitch. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. This shouldn't be seen as something that's negative. I just feel like being a basic bitch is just like liking what you like and being unapologetic about it and leaning in, and who cares? Like if it's dorky or if like it's not chic or cool or different or mysterious. It's like, who gives a fuck, you know? So like I started off that first book with being like, let's lean in. This is the basic bitch handbook. And then my second book, Off With My Head, I wrote during COVID. 2020 was a really rough year. And I felt, I had a lot of moments where I felt like I was, I personally felt like I was at my own rock bottom, and I, you know, had lost a lot of things. And I was like, I have to write about what I know. I had started writing a different second book. And so I scratched all of that. Like that was, scrapped all that. That was not going to happen. And I'm like, I'm going to write about like digging yourself out of a hole. So like how to fucking cope when you feel like you're at your own personal rock bottom in a basic bitch way. So it's the basic bitch handbook to surviving rock bottom. And now whereas this one, it's still like a basic bitch handbook, but it's about this new phase of my life and things that I've realized. And I haven't fully really discussed what it's fully about yet, but these books are always just kind of where I'm at in my head. Cause it's like, you just write what you know. That's the only way I know how to do it.
I mean, I feel like you say that so casually. Did you have like the writer in you from the start though? Like, I feel like you're casually like, I'm working on my third book. Did you know you wanted to be a writer? Like, do you feel like, how did you just start writing a book?
Yeah, no, I went to school for writing. I have my bachelor's degree in writing. Yeah, okay. So it wasn't just like, it wasn't just random. I remember like being this little Hollywood club rat, you know, 2010, 2009, around that time period. And I have this fake, like this book proposal that I wrote back then that's like still on my computer, which it's like so cringy now that I look back on it, but it was a how-to guide. And it was like how to fake it until you make it, which is crazy because I had not made it in any way. So what the fuck was I even talking about? But it was almost like I manifested writing these like cheeky handbooks because like I tried to make write one when I was like 20 years old. I don't know. I think it's because I just read a lot of Cosmo growing up.
No. I mean, it's just really inspiring. Like, at least for me, like, I just feel like if I was like, I'm going to go write a book, like the level of imposter syndrome that I would have, and I'm sure I would have, no, I'm not sure. I'm like, I'm sure I would have something to say. That is not true. I'm not sure that I would have anything of value to say. But did you have any feelings like that? Because your background's kind of more in reality TV, and then you're making like this big shift into like writing a book.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, I feel imposter syndrome 24/7. Like there's never a moment where I feel like I deserve this. I am worth it. I'm so talented. Like there is never a moment where I feel like I'm worthy of being where I'm at. So like imposter syndrome, I just like don't think that's ever going to go away. But yes, I do worry if like who the fuck do I think I am to be giving advice? That type of thing. Like what makes me the authority on anything? But I also make sure to write that in my books to be like, I am quite literally not an authority on anything. This is just my thoughts, my feelings, my vibe, what I would do, what I have done. And I'm comforted by the fact that I've had a podcast for so long. So I feel really connected to my listeners. Like I've met so many of them, like, you know, at meet and greets and things like that. And I hear from them. And so I know we have this like connection. So like, I know I'm like, they're relating to it. So I just remind myself that like there are other people that are going through what you're going through and they're going to want to hear this or read this. I just have to tell myself that.
I feel like what's so awesome about you and like even like from the beginning of your career, talking to you right now in your books, your podcast, like you're so unapologetically, authentically you. At least that's how it seems. Like where do you get that confidence from? Because sometimes I'm like, I don't want people to like know who I am. I'm scared. Like you have like a certain like presence that I think is really cool and admirable.
That's so nice. And thank you. But I will say I struggle with that now because I feel like who I am now, like, again, we touched on this too, is like, is that someone that's valuable in this industry now. Like, I worry, like, I have to be myself. So, like, that's the only way I just, like, know to be. I can't pretend to be that girl I was on Vanderpump Rules. And, like, if that's going to let a few people down, it's going to let a few people down. But, like, it's the only way I know to survive. Like, I, that's how I survive, is just being able to, like, live loudly. That is so wild and weird and crazy. And I don't know. I really don't know.
No, it's fine. It makes sense. It's a compliment. It's a question. It's everything kind of wrapped up into one. But I just felt like it was really, like, something that I've picked up on about you. But also, well, you just, mentioned you have...
Think about the people that you enjoy talking to. It's because you're like, wow, like, there's no facade. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like we're really, the only way to really connect is to be truthful in any situation at all. So, like, you might as well be yourself and connect with a fewer amount of people than pretend to be somebody else for the sake of maybe connecting with more.
Totally.
You know?
You're totally like Kris Jennering me right now. Like, I'm inspired. I feel like I'm at like a... Yes,
let's do it. We all need to live our best Kris Jenner lives.
Exactly. So you mentioned you had your podcast a very long time, 9 years, but you also started a podcast with your husband. And I want to know more about that. What's it called and what is it about?
Okay. So it's called The Good, The Bad, The Baby. We started it right after I had my first. So, like, we had been planning it, like, during COVID. And it's really, like, it's about our lives. So it's kind of like an audio reality. You know, we're talking about the things that we're going through as new parents, and that's what it is. And let me tell you, it gets, working with your husband, it gets stressful. It gets hard. But it's also one of my favorite. Yes, but it's also one of my favorite things. It's like such, it's so nuanced, because I love that we have this together. It's so fun to be able to, like, come and have a conversation and connect like that. But at the same time, working with your partner is also the worst, you know?
I feel like that would be really, really difficult, because you're not only working with your partner, you're also like in real life, like currently live going through, like, that sounds more like, I go to couples therapy with my husband every week. I'm like, that's like probably what your podcast is.
Sometimes it feels like that. Sometimes we work through things. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the only way I know to live, Emily, is on reality TV. So, like, I'm used to all my shit being out there. I don't know any different. I don't know what it's like to really have privacy, you know?
Right. But then I guess there is something totally freeing about that at the same time, because you're like, this is who I am and this is what I'm going through. Like, you're not hiding behind anything. How does your husband feel about, like, hitting all of these topics and, like, entering fatherhood and, like, sharing all of that? Because, like, I feel like he's not like you in the sense that, like, grew up on TV and airing it out. So how does he feel about sharing all of this and, like, the learnings behind parenthood?
I think he likes that aspect of it. Like, he likes the things that we talk about. He loves, you know, I think for him, it is also like therapy, him being able to, like, get out his feelings about being a dad. I think what makes it hard is that it's just, I boss him around in this podcast, because I am the professional. I've done this for a really long time. So, like, I need to let him speak more. I need to learn to, like, let him shine a little bit more. I think that's probably where he's like, is this your podcast or is this our podcast? Like, do you want me to talk or do you want me to just be here listening to you? Like, that kind of gets rough. But also, again, I'm a professional. I've been doing this for a really long time. I know how to steer this ship.
Absolutely. That totally makes sense. Is there any topic that you guys talk about on this podcast together that seems to resonate with people the most? Is it like, because, like, for me, I think when I would hear a couple talking about, like, new parenthood, it would be like the relationship and how things are between, like, mom and dad during these phases. But is there anything specific that you're like, oh, this is really resonating with people? Like, they're really enjoying, like, XYZ content that we're sharing.
I mean, I feel like anytime that we're honest about, like, how our, like, Hartford is really difficult. Like, people, like, she's a crazy girl. She is the best in the world. We always remind ourselves that, like, we see these TikToks that it's like, you know, the difficult child, the crazy girl, the one, blah, 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 is going to be the one that changes the world. I'm like, yes. Let's remind ourselves that, like, she is so strong and so tough, and she's going to do wonderful things with that power. But she is hard. She does not listen to us, and she tantrums 24/7. Like, it's... And so when we go into detail about how we are struggling with that, I feel like people are like, yes, not alone, because it looked like your kid was perfect and we just really wanted to make sure that she wasn't. People relate to that. And I think people also relate to the fact that, like, Bo and I are going through a different season in our relationship, and we discussed that. Like, I saw that you did a TikTok where I think you went on a trip and you guys had cards, like cards that had questions on them.
Yeah. Yes.
Bo and I have done that before. Bo and I literally have done that before, where we brought along with us like question game, because when we would go on a date, we were like, fuck, what do we even talk about now? Like, we've been with the kids all day. We've worked together all day. We've already talked about everything there is to talk about. Are we going to sit at dinner in silence? So like, no, let's play this game. And like, that might seem unromantic, but like at the same time, that means you're so in it together all the time that like what a beautiful thing that is too, that like you've committed to such a life together to where you've run out of things to say.
That's actually so true. And I think what you mentioned earlier when you were saying like the transition from one to two kids, now you're man to man. So your husband's with one kid and you're with the other kid. Like, that was a really big transition for us too. Cause I feel like you're like, oh, we're just like an operating system. Like, there's no like breaks. There's no, like, we just need to keep the ship like moving forward. And like, that is like, and keep everyone alive, obviously. So I feel like sharing anything about that in a relationship and like that change and transition would be super helpful, which is why I was kind of interested in the podcast. And kind of, was there something that sparked you guys wanting to do that? Or it was just like, we're in this and I want to share the reality behind it.
Literally just that. Just that we talk about where we're at once a week. You know what I mean? And not that much changes in a week. So you really have to talk about where you're at. When you have two kids, it's not like there's so much to talk about. You know, like, I didn't do all these things. Like, my life isn't that exciting anymore. So we have to just be honest about where we're at, even if it's like maybe the boring stage of our relationship. But again, it's like that everything's temporary. Everything.
Absolutely. Always. Yes. That totally resonates with me. Between your podcasts, two podcasts, the books, everything you do on social media, is there one main message or one thing that you're always trying to like accomplish / get across to your listeners and the people who follow you? Because I feel like you do have such a strong relationship with like the people who follow you and love you and like watched you grow up. Is there one thing you're trying to accomplish with like everything that you're putting out and like your third book that's coming up?
That's such a good question. I don't think that there's one overarching message. I think it's more so that like I'm very driven by like a moment when like someone comes up to me and they were like, I listened to your podcast and it got me through A, B, and C, or like your book made me feel so less alone. Knowing that I connected with someone and to feel like I added value to somebody's life, I enhanced their life in some way, like that's kind of the goal, to like make that connection. But the messages always change depending on where I'm at in my life.
Yeah. And I feel like even just talking to you now, I feel like something that I get from you is that you really encourage yourself and others to be like authentically themselves, which is like such a clear and important message too.
Thank you. Yes. Like, that is like maybe the theme of my life. I owe any success that I have at all, I feel like, because I'm just trying to be transparent. Like, that's it. So like, if you don't like it, you don't have to like it. You don't have to take in this content. You don't have to sit here if you don't want to sit here. But like, literally, I think that's the only reason I'm successful whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And like, very relatable and important. My next question for you, and a question that I ask all of my guests, because this is the remodeling podcast, are you going through any big remodels right now, personally, professionally, emotionally? I may already know the answer to this, but like, what is a big change that you are currently going through / tackling right now?
My life is one whole big fucking remodel right now. Truly. I'm trying to find the light at the end of the tunnel. I want to try and figure out who I am now, because I don't know. I don't know if I ever will know who I am. I read all these celebrities, like these celebrities who are older, and they'll be like, I'm so sure of myself now. Like, I'm not insecure. I don't doubt myself. I know who I am. I'm confident in who I am. And I'm like, what? You're telling me that the older you get, the more you know yourself? Because It's the reverse. When I was in my early 20s, I thought I fucking knew everything. I knew everything that I stood for. I knew, it's embarrassing how self-assured I was. Like, it's embarrassing. But the older I get, the more I'm like, who the fuck am I? Who am I? What do I like doing? What are my favorite colors? Like, what do I do? Like, who do I want to hang out with? What do I want to wear? Like, what do I stand for? Like, because I feel like when you become a mom, like, life is always changing with every new age that your kid is turning. And it's just, it's wild. So I'm just trying to figure out who I am right now, Emily. That's what it is.
That's so relatable. And it's so true. When you're young, you're so naive and you're just like, this is what it is. And this is what I like. And I don't care what anyone thinks. But then once you become a mother, there's just so much more gravity to every single choice and decision and every single thing you say and think and like how that'll leak into your family life. So there's so much more pressure to like get it right. So that is so relatable and so awesome. Okay. My next question, what do you have next coming up for your community? I mean, you shared about your book. Is there an ETA on that? Like, what are people looking forward to from you?
No ETA. Sorry to disappoint. I will say this year.
No, 2024.
No. Before it turns 2025, there will be a book out. Okay. So there's that. And just my podcast right now. I've recognized since having kids that I like to focus on one thing at a time. If I'm spread too thin, then I'm just a miserable person to be around. So I'm just focusing all my attention on that and my children right now.
Beautiful. I love that. Where can everybody find you?
At Stassi Schroeder. I'm pretty sure all of the ats. Yeah, TikTok, Instagram. It's at Stassi Schroeder. If you want to listen to my podcast, it's Straight Up with Stassi. And then I also have a Patreon, patreon.com/Stassi, where you can listen to The Good, The Bad, The Baby. Yeah, lots of listening.
Amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
I hope you enjoyed listening to that episode. Sitting down for these conversations really gives me so much life and so much inspiration. I can't wait to share who's up next. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. Be sure to keep up with us on Instagram for upcoming guests and episodes. I'm at Emily DiDonato. We can't wait for all that's to come. See you soon.